Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Sprites of Life podcast. I'm Lucas. Chris ain't here.
And I'm Don.
And we're glad to have y'all here because you know what? Chris decided not to join us today, Don.
Disrespectful.
It is, right? Like, you know, we're here to talk about crustacean Pokemon, made a little banner for the YouTube thing and everything, and he decides that he wants to go and be, you know, a great dad and take care of his kid. The audacity. Well, today we are going to talk about crustacean Pokemon. They are probably some of the coolest Pokemon, although, honestly, they're not very strong. Like, have you noticed that?
I mean, well, some of them actually have a big, some of them have big numbers, Lucas, which, like, okay. I'm surprised you don't know that.
I mean, some of them do have big number, but, like, and some of them can make number go higher. But, like, I would hope that with the power that crustaceans hold in the animal kingdom, more of them would have bigger number and bigger presence, you know?
I see what you mean there. Yeah, I do think, I'm agreeing that there's not that many, like, top-tier crustacean-type fellas. There is one, though, that I believe once got top four at the World Championships.
All right, and we'll get to that one once we roll in. We'll save something for the people. But for now, let's get into the news. I found something pretty neat, nothing world-shattering, but something pretty cool. Do you know what a blue hole is?
Yes, because I want to dive in more.
Okay, so can you explain to them what that is? Because I'm barely learning about them.
Okay, so a blue hole is I'm trying to think of a great way to describe it. They're more common in areas where there's a limestone-style bedrock. It's basically an underwater sinkhole that's fallen in. So you'll see areas where water is relatively shallow, but because limestone is very easily degraded by acidity, over time limestone can be degraded by higher acidity groundwater and kind of fall in on itself. And it'll have areas where, say, in the Bahamas, there's a famous one called Dean's Blue Hole, where it's a relatively shallow water around it, and then it's hundreds of feet down. And from above, it just looks like a dark blue hole just in the bottom.
All right, cool. Because they found one that's, like, disgustingly deeper than that. The Tanja Blue Hole that's right off the Yucatan Peninsula, it is over, what was it? It extends at least 1,380 feet below sea level.
Oh, wow. What's the depth it's at, like, the mouth of it?
So the mouth of it, like, you're seeing it, it's literally right at the surface. Like, you can see, hang on, I'll show a quick picture of it here for you to see. This is the Tanja Blue Hole.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's right at the surface, and then it just goes down. Not only that, they think that it might connect to, like, an underwater labyrinth of other tunnels.
Yeah, so we do see a lot of these, blue holes around the Yucatan area. Particularly, it's like they're basically the underwater version of the cenotes. They're also in the same zone, and it's the same process of basically the roofs of caves falling in, typically because the limestone degraded. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. It was found by a diver that was following a grouper.
Of course it was. Don, is that you? That sounds like you.
I guess it was initially found in 2003, but I think they didn't figure out the true depth until recently.
Yeah, although at least we know now how Godzilla's been slipping in and out away from the Coast Guard again.
The Hollow Earth.
The Hollow Earth. It's real.
I just wonder what the, you can tell it's near the surface, but I wonder how close to the surface. Because some blue holes are shockingly, like you'll be in 3 feet of water and then there's just a 100-foot hole.
Just a cliff.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see what's living down there, honestly. Like random holes
opening up. I'm seeing some fishing videos, and it seems like good stuff.
There's something in the hole. There's something good in the hole, at least. Oh, still pretty cool. Not everything has to be world-shattering or trillions of cicadas. You know, sometimes we just find a really cool hole that we want to show off.
Yeah, and it's also, I think it opens up an underwater cavern at the bottom of it that's 13,000 square meters.
Yeah, no, there's all kinds of weird stuff that we're not looking up, and it's not even like it's not like the Mariana Trench. Nah, you can get a boat to it. Go down the hole. Just go check it out.
Pretty close, apparently, actually. I looked it up. But yeah, I will say, like, some blue holes can have weird current fluctuations, so, like, do research before you jump in one.
Do we have any, like, crazy video game news? The only video game news I had was that another live service game decided to be terrible and, like, have terrible numbers, but that's, you know, what, every Wednesday?
Do you have any idea how little it narrows that down?
In this case, it was the Suicide Squad, so, you know, when people announced that game, it's like, oh, this is taking place in the Arkham universe. Let's go. Oh, it's live service. Oh, we're not playing as Batman. Oh, you take down Batman like a dog in the cinematic cutscenes and your terrible game. Like, it's not looking great, which is sad. Because
yeah, I didn't know a lot about it, but I remember there being some upsetness about it when it first came out.
The same upsetness that happens with a lot of these games, but, like, especially since it's connected to the Arkham universe and, like, everyone loved the Arkham games and Arkham Batman. Like, spoilers, when all the superheroes turn to bad guys and you have to go and stop them as bad guys yourself, and the way they take down Batman is, like, one of the, like, you really gonna do him that dirty? You're really gonna take him down with less grace than Old Yeller? Yeah, you're gonna take him down with less grace than Old Yeller. It is bad, but otherwise, I don't know. Is there anything going? I know in Pokemon, people are understanding the power of the horse again.
Yeah, we have the single restricted regulation G format, and so we're allowed a single restricted. This is the first time we've had that without Dynamax, and Calyrex. Both of them were very, very good with Dynamax. I think Shadow Rider in particular is even better without Dynamax because it just wants to go really fast in one-shot things. And now things can't double their HP and it's still the fastest thing.
I mean, I've seen the clips with, what was it? What's the goldfish again? Chiyu?
Chiyu. The one thing too with it is a fun mechanic. Moves that have a base power lower than I think it's 40, maybe 60, have their base power increased. I think it's lower than 60. Or 40 have their base power increased to 60. So Terra Normal Draining Kiss does like real damage and you get 50% of your damage back as HP.
Honestly, there isn't too much other than that with the gaming news. I'm sure there's something bigger I'm missing. But honestly, I just want to spend more time talking about crustaceans anyway. So let's just get right into it. Truth be told, when it comes to the ocean, most people assume that it's the fish that are the MVPs. Because, you know, we call everything a fish that lives in the ocean or in the water in general. But if we're being quite frank with ourselves, we both know that that's not true. The invertebrates have been kicking butt in the ocean long before there was ever a sign of a vertebra, like at all.
Yeah, yeah, they've had a hell of a run.
Yeah, and they keep going. And the crustaceans are just one section of them that just do so stinking well. They're the MVPs of the world aquatic ecosystem. They've survived at every depth, temperature, salinity, pressure and pollution level this planet can throw at them. Pokemon has made about 14 of these guys, and today I figured we'd just, you know, talk about some of our favorites or some of the weird ones, or, you know, we'll just go into some. I mean, we can do multiple episodes. There's like 14 of them, but I wanted to talk a little bit about what makes a crustacean a crustacean and what has made them dominate this planet so well. So as far as crustaceans go, they are the largest subphyla of the arthropods. Would you want to guess how many identified species we have found?
At least seven.
At least seven. Folks, he's not wrong. He's done it again. 67,000 species of them. That's, yeah, that's just them. I mean, to put it another way, that's more than all the other vertebrate species combined. They are a lot of these critters out there. But they do all have to have something in common. So all of them are going to have segmented bodies. So they're going to have a nice hard outer shell as their exoskeleton along with it. And it's going to be broken down into different portions and sections. Jointed limbs, very important. The arthropods are all known for their jointed segmented limbs that allow them to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Often they're with two branches as well. So they're pretty weirdly spaced out for walking. Two pairs of antennas. They got to have gills. And seven or more pairs of appendages that are for feeding, swimming, walking, breathing, reproduction. That's really what defines the arthropods in general, is that be it a spider, be it a cockroach, be it a crab, it's all in the legs. Like, there's no problem a crustacean cannot solve without just evolving some really, really weird hands and or feet.
Yeah, it's really the Swiss Army knife of you got 10 of them, so they can really mess around. Like, there's plenty that just have claws, but we see a lot of very, very specialized options.
I mean, yeah, the lobsters and the true crabs are going to have claws for crushing and gripping. Then you have shrimp, which just learned how to swim with theirs. They evolved really cool ways of moving it like a wave.
Little tiny hands.
Yeah, kind of weird when you look at it up close and it's moving, but little grippy hands.
I love shrimp. I've kept several like freshwater shrimp and saltwater shrimp, and I like them when they're just sort of like, they eat really fast with all their little tiny claws.
I love hermit crabs, actually. Like, because it's not just the limbs, but it's the abdomen that learned how to curl and grip onto the shell to walk around with.
Yeah, it's an incredible adaptation.
It's really cool how they do it. I mean, they're squishy and gross without their shell, but, like, otherwise, they're really, really cool. I mean, if you just go and look at the list, I mean, you got the mantis shrimp, which uses its fist to punch so hard it boils water. You have all kinds of different smaller crustacean-like creatures that'll use their claws not just for, like, pinching, but, like, almost for filter feeding. I mean, you even have, like, the pom-pom crab, which instead of just using its claws normally, just has them flat. That is built so that way anemones can better stick onto them. I mean, come on. Like, there's no problem they do not have an arm for, which is wild to me. I love it. But anyway, as this kind of caught off track, crustaceans really just survive by being so diverse, being able to go anywhere and be anywhere they want because their bodies are so adaptable to evolving and changing in the ocean, which has led to the scientific term / meme arc of carcinogenation. How do you pronounce that? Carcinogenation?
I normally can say it.
Carcinogenation, whatever. It's basically the joke of like everything will turn to
like
crap.
Like two hard C's, actually. I think it's like a weird carcinogenation. Like someone that is correct on this is screaming at their phones right now.
Let them scream. They can join us and scream together. I'm screaming internally, to be honest. It's the meme of everything involves to crabs. The idea that, like, multiple creatures across the ocean have just accidentally become crabs. Like, you've seen this up close, right? You're closer to these animals than I am.
Yeah, yeah, we see that, there's basically actual crabs. There's the true crabs. There's many other species of, like, not quite a true crab, but still crustaceans. And there's even... I mean, a scorpion's basically just a crab with some other features. There's the pseudoscorpions, all of which are just something that's even just tangentially related to crabs, still taking on that sort of crab body type.
I mean, aquatically, you also have the hermit crab, king crab, and porcelain crab. None of them are considered true crabs, but they all separately just evolve similar features that we attribute to crabs because that body plan works really, really well. And by being very similar... they're just as effective as the true crabs. I'll be honest, we came up with the term true crabs because the Decapoda just kind of has their own little niche there. And then you have these other branching groups that just all... that's why a lot of people assume that hermit crabs and all these crabs are all in one big group. But they divided out and then separately evolved these different features, which is wild. Like, you don't see that in any real other organism group. Just how effective... and so many different random times. Not like even one group. Hermit crabs, king crabs, and porcelain crabs are all in their own separate thing, and they still develop the features. It's wild. I don't think we'll turn to crabs, though. Yet. There's still time. But I don't think we're
going to. You have so many extra legs to, like, scuttle about with.
I mean, I want to get there, but I know... I mean, there's work to be done, Don. You know what? There's work that needs to be done, and I feel like humanity, I mean, we're still stuck in our four-limbed ways, and we're going to have to change at some point. Anywho. So crustaceans, I'm being very basic and very broad with them just because there's so many out there, but I do want to touch on what we have with it comes to their relationship to people. All right, another number question for you. How many tons of crustacean do humans capture and or consume every year?
Probably more right now because of the Red Lobster incident. Do you know about that?
I heard about it. Is this the endless shrimp again?
Yeah, they did another endless shrimp thing, and I think they lost, like, a pile of money.
I heard somewhere... Hang on, I'm pulling up how much money they lost. 1 second. Oh, yeah, no, Red Lobsters might be filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's bad. And this is actually the second time they've had an incident go wrong. I think in the early 2000s they did an all-you-can-eat, like, king crab thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of their higher ups, like CEO level employees, I think had to resign over it. And the average person ate like 2 dozen crab legs or something, and they projected for like 5. But it was endless crab. So people are obviously just going to
suck it up and eat. Yeah, they're going to gorge. They're going to roll out of that building with Cheddar Bay biscuits in their pockets. Yeah, $11 million that was lost from that. if you count that, that probably explains this. Over 10 million tons of crustacean are harvested as food every year. And I guess most of it went to Red Lobster, but like still, it's a lot of food. And depending on the animal that they're harvesting, be it, you know, shrimp or crab or krill in some cases, it can be pretty harmful to the ecosystem. And if the fisheries aren't done properly, you can lead to a lot of bad things happening. I mean, you remember Deadliest Catch, and it was at its biggest, right? Like, even those guys recognized that something was going down.
The stranglehold of Deadliest Catch on, like, American society for a while was kind of crazy. And
yeah,
then
if you didn't live
7,000 Alaska shows.
Yeah, if you didn't live through that weird time in, like, American TV, where just everyone's watching these men fight for their lives against the Bering Sea to get crab legs for all of us to eat at Red Lobster for exceedingly low prices. Yeah, wow, some poor crab fisherman died so that way some guy can gorge himself on Red Lobster and Cheddar Bay biscuits. That's, I feel sad now, Don. I don't know how to feel
it's
about that.
It's an incredible show. I mean, I do think the money they make is pretty great. So, you know, that's the trade-off.
Mm-hmm. And depending on over-harvesting of something like krill, it can damage an ecosystem versus, I know shrimping has been very damaging, not so much to the shrimp population, as much as also everything else that comes when you drag a giant net around and try and grab whatever you can. Specifically, seahorses.
The bottom trawling method can be destructive.
Yeah, it's pretty. There are better ways to do it, but those ways are going to be more expensive. People choose the easier ones. It's a whole thing, and again, there are too many species to talk about. But they are also an indicator species for, you know, health in an ecosystem. A crayfish, if you go into a river and you find only crayfish, yeah, that place is gross. Get out of there. Nasty. Only they can live in that kind of filth. But it's a really good way of finding out if an ecosystem is safe or not if you just go into these areas and you're finding these organisms surviving. They make up a huge part of the decomposers in the ocean. So whenever you have a whale fall or a fish pass away or any number of things, crustaceans are usually one of the first on the scenes to go ahead and pick it apart. I mean, even in our aquarium that I work at, like, these animals will carve and pick apart anything you throw their way. Like, they're insatiable in what they'll consume. And it is very fun to watch a hermit crab eat a giant clam that the size of he is. Like, it's very, very cute. So I guess all of this kind of just leads up to me, like, just talking about, like, these animals are very commonly known. They have a lot of really cool features, and we're going to talk about a whole bunch of them in a bit. But it's just important to understand that while they are seen by most of the planet as just food or creepy little water bugs, they're really, really good at what they do. They've been on this planet for millions and millions of years, surviving in places that no organism has any right to survive, from the deepest, darkest, chemically stuffed parts of the ocean to right at the tidal levels. Like, some of them just said, screw it, we're going to go live on land now, and decided to do that. Like, it's incredible what these organisms have been able to pull off, and I'm really excited that we get the chance to share with you some of the Pokemon that they decided to, you know, grace with the crabby crustacean essence. So, Don, do you want to start with, like, a basic one, or do you want to go with, like, something a little bit weird?
Let's start fun.
Let's start simple. All right, we'll talk about crabby then. I mean, this is one of the first designed Pokemon, by the way. This was, like, one of the easiest ones that they decided to put together. Crabby represents, weirdly enough, it represents, like, the true crabs, but it also only has 6 limbs. So,
I feel like Pokemon kind of has an issue, especially the early gens, with giving things the right amount of limbs.
I mean, they did it with almost every... It took them over 25 years to give a spider with the right number of limbs. So, like, this doesn't surprise me. Like, at all. The Krabby is the crab Pokemon. It is one... It kind of represents the 7,000 quote-unquote true crabs of the world. It does pretty good of a job. It's a crab. And they didn't really need to change too much about it. One thing I love about the Pokedex, the pincers on Krabby will regrow after they've lost a fight. And that is something that crustaceans have been known to do. As they molt after losing a limb, the lost limb will slowly grow back after each molt, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, aside from that, it walks and lives on the beach. It can be underwater. So crustaceans in general, some of them can be in water their whole lives. Some of them can kind of switch back and forth. And still others are like permanently landlocked. Like there's some we'll get to in a bit that are like, no, you cannot go in the water. You will drown. You're not going back to being in the water anymore. But aside from that, he seems like, there's nothing too crazy about him. It just made a crab. That's that.
I've always been a Krabby fan, I will say. I like him and I like his evolution very much.
Well, his evolutions are when we start getting nuts. Like, those are the fun things. So, Kingler is a fiddler crab, and it's very weird because the Pokedex has this insistence on that its claw holds 10,000 horsepower, which is, like, a really weird measurement, isn't it? Like, for, like, a claw?
Yeah, because I think you would want, like, crushing force. I mean, he does have a very high attack stat.
Oh, yeah, no, he can throttle you if you can, if he can catch you. He's quite slow, but it's still pretty neat. I love fiddler crabs because with fiddler crabs, yes, they do have that massive claw that makes life really difficult when it comes to walking around, but it's kind of like a double, like it has two really cool features. One is it attracts a mate. It's seen as a sign of reproductive health if you have a really big, awesome claw. And then it's a deterrent for rivals because you can use that to fight them off. It's not the most graceful weapon, but it gets the job done. One thing I would love to see, whenever a fiddler crab loses an arm, there are two ways it can regrow it. One, the old-fashioned way. Nice, normal, real slow, get it nice and bulky. Or you choose the other way, where they basically just molt the outer part of the claw without any of the meat inside. Like, it's just a false arm in order to scare away other crustaceans. The second it's used in a fight, it breaks and shatters into a million pieces. But it's really cool that they would that kind of strategy can even come up from something like a crab. You don't think of them as going for cunning, right?
I actually didn't know that. That's a really cool way to deal with, having damage to the main claw. And it sort of rewards a little bit of thinking on their part. Obviously, it is impressive as well. You'll see crabs, if their one claw is damaged, they'll actually remove it the rest of the way themselves so that they can grow back a proper claw, basically. Like, there's videos of crabs that have a damaged claw, and they'll just grab it with their other one and just pop it off and leave it there. It's also a way to deal with potential predators. You'll see crabs can... There's points along their claw where they're able to detach without, like, minimal, blood loss, basically, or, like, any real major damage. And some crabs will actually even just pull the limb off and kind of drop it in front of the predator.
Normally, this is where we get to stop on Kingler, but since last generation, we have a Kingler that has come up as the Gigamax Kingler, where he just becomes a giant bubbly spider crab, which is, I'll be honest, one of my favorite designs for the Gigamaxes. Look at that king. Look at that beard. Look at him. Powerful. Masculine.
I tried to use G-Max Kingler in competitive. It didn't work out as well as I hoped, but he's fun, and he learns a lot of... Kingler's move pool is actually really weird.
Like, how so? Like, what does he got?
It gets ally switch.
Why?
Because it's side-to-side movement, and he's a crab.
Fair enough. You got me there, Don. Alrighty, then.
It also gets wide guard, so it has, like, basically, you can go, like, wide guard to ally switch, and then, like, the G-Max water move, and then, like, Stomping Tantrum. Oh, and also with Hyper Cutter, you're immune to Intimidate.
Pretty useful in the age. Honestly, Incineroar hates this
actually,
thing.
Actually, you one-shot Incineroar.
Huh. I mean, if you can hit the Crab Hammer, which, low accuracy, but,
I mean, it's got Liquidation now, also.
Oh, yeah, no, that should do the trick. I mean, so long as it's... If you're spec'd out right, that should probably kill it in one-shot. That shouldn't be a big issue.
It does a lot, but he does compete with some other... crab type Pokemon at bopping things with Liquidation.
Yeah, I do feel bad though, because it sounds like its bubbles are hardcore because they're like alkaline, super high pH bubbles in the dex that'll melt your flesh if you touch them.
Yeah, it just dropped your speed stat twice. It would have been crazy if instead of giving the three like field effect damage moves to the three starters, they sort of randomized them. So, like, if it was G-Max Bubble Blast or whatever it is, and instead it did, like, the G-Max Blastoise move effect, it was damage over time, Kingler would have been very viable.
Yeah. I mean, real crabs do blow bubbles. It's mainly, like, an after effect of, like, of breathing oxygen from just the pure air. It just forms bubbles usually from that. But it's not like something absolutely terrifying or dangerous. It's just kind of gross and weird and doesn't do anything. I'll be honest, it does look kind of cute depending on the crab.
Yeah, many of the crabs that are the sort of half in the water, half in the land crabs will really blow the bubbles. Crabs, even land crabs' lungs have to stay wet because they're sort of modified gills. So you will see, that's kind of why you'll see land crabs bubbling, because they do have to sort of almost occasionally dip in water to keep their gills wet enough to let oxygen diffuse across them.
It's one of the reasons why people who keep pet hermit crabs keep having them die, because they don't realize that they need salt water for the gills and fresh water for drinking. Like one of the easiest fixes you can make, and they'll live a lot longer. All right, so Don, we got the basic one out of the way. You got something weird for them? Because I've got some weird ones, but like, you got anything fun?
I personally, one of my favorite ones I see is actually next in the notes. So if we want to do that one, and then I'll break out another weird one.
All right, cool. So what happens when you take the coolest Pokemon design in decades and give it the worst ability they could think of?
Hey, you're not talking about Regigigas.
Fair. I said a decade. Like, if it's the worst one since Regigigas.
Oh my god, you're right. Oh my god, I'm so old.
Yeah, we're both old. But, like, the Elisapod, the Wimpod line, what a cool design! Look at them! They're amazing! But you ruined it! Why? Why would you give them emergency exit? Oh my god. So stupid. But they
are... One of them did make day two. Glissapod did make day two at Worlds.
Fantastic. But it's still... It should have made day two and a lot of different other days. Isopods are a type of crustacean. They are one of the most, like, widespread, because not only can you find them in the deepest depths of the ocean, you also just find them in American backyards, like the little roly-poly pill bugs. What did you call them? Roly-polies or pill bugs?
A little bit of both. I think they were initially roly-polies, and then I started getting more into stuff. I was like, no, actually, it's pill bugs. And then later I was like, actually, they're isopods.
Yeah, it just got worse, didn't it? I mean, isopods are very specialized groups of arthropod. They have a very cool segmented body that works almost like armor, and they are very capable of being flexible and forming into balls in some cases, or they just naturally have a really tough armored hide. Some of them are scavengers, others are decomposers, and even some are parasites that take the place of a fish's tongue. But we don't have any of those in Pokemon yet. Hang on. No, Tatsugiri just sits on the tongue. He doesn't actually take it over, but it's close enough. But
he's surprisingly close to the tongue louse.
Yeah, he's very weird, but he technically, he's fish. We'll leave him. Sorry, he's a fish dragon. We'll leave him alone. But Wimpod, I'll talk a little bit about him first, because he gets a lot of overshadowing because of how awesome Galissapod looks. But Wimpod, like, it has like a description for him when they were first announcing the Pokemon back in that generation. That the fact that Wimpod, whenever it's corner, will spit poison at whatever is coming at them. And I thought, okay, that's weird. I've never heard of an isopod doing that. But it turns out multiple isopods have actually developed the ability to produce different kinds of chemicals to ward off predators. So this is an actual thing that isopods can do. I didn't know that. Did you?
I think I've heard something about some of the land ones maybe producing like a noxious sort of little secretion. But I could be wrong there. I'm assuming it's the land ones, though.
Yeah, it is the land ones that are able to do that. You can't really produce a lot of, like, toxins out there to spit.
Yeah, exactly. I if there was, like, a more like a sea cucumber type of thing, or, like, a more of a... Because there are some other aquatic animals that use, like, almost like a tendrily sort of thing, or like a mucus blob, like a hagfish style. I don't know if it was maybe, like, a slime.
Yeah, you can't really spit in the ocean. It doesn't really do much to you. But I thought it was really cool that they would add that. Yeah, they made it very much a land-dwelling isopod, just running around. Very similar to like a wood louse or something like that. It's very timid, tends to just run away from you, which is, you know, standard. Like for these animals, like they're weaker, they're going to run. But then we get to Galissapod when it evolves. And oh, sweet lord, this thing is just a giant deep-sea isopod on steroids. Most people have gotten the chance to see these things now. They're one of those weird pop culture animals now. Giant isopods are typically found sometimes over a mile underwater, and they don't do much aside from exist.
Gulf of Mexico. I think the biggest one so far is.
Yeah, no, they actually are surprisingly close. You can even find them off the coast of Georgia all the way down to around Brazil. Like, they're not that difficult to find. They're really, I think most of the species discovered are on the Atlantic side, which is very interesting given how interested people are in them in the Pacific. A Monterey Bay Aquarium will actually let you touch them at their aquarium. And I know that in Japan, there was a lot of, like, my keychain, I actually have a giant isopod that I picked up a little keychain of when I was at one of the aquariums there. So it's very much an animal that people like. Like, it's one of those things that's, like, weirdly cute. If you, like, make it a plushie, you know what I mean? Like the blob thing.
Yeah, I liked him. I think he's very popular. The part where he is in Pokemon Snap is one of my favorite levels, too. The cool underwater deep sea part.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, like, really, it's really cool that they did that because they are a deep sea creature. The thing that I love is that they can go years without eating, like literal years. Like, there was an aquarium, there was that story that went around about an aquarium that didn't feed theirs for over 3 years and was still alive and kicking. Like, they just don't need to eat because they have a super low metabolism. They don't move around too much. And anytime there is food, they run for it, eat as much as they can, and then just go back to sitting still until they need to reproduce. So it's a very effective strategy to stay alive. Just don't do anything. Works out great for them.
Particularly where the water is so cold, with a cold-blooded animal, you can kind of just exist for very, very little calories.
But then, of course, we have to get to the problem that, worst ability ever. If you don't know, if you've never played before, Galissapod's ability is emergency exit, and so is Wimpod's. Anytime you take over 50%...
Wimpod's is Wimpout.
Oh, really? This is right. I'm sorry. They just named it something different. It's still the same.
Wimpods just needed to sound cooler.
Oh my god. Look, literally, it's like, they lose half of your health, and then you get switched out immediately. What was the idea? What do you think their idea was for a strategy in a competitive game for this to be like?
Honestly, like, I think it was... So it does get... Sort of its signature move when it came out, I think, was hyped was first impression. So here's my theory of, like, how they designed it.
Mm-hmm.
It shows up the first turn, you have first impression, which is plus two priority, so it's very fast, same as extreme speed. You do great big damage with your nice attack stat, and then you take a hit, and then you get bounced right back out, and then you get to come back in and do it right again. I'm sure some guy had a grand vision of Incineroar, Rillaboom, Galissapod cores ruling the world, where they get to click fake out and first impression and you turn forever until the heat death of the universe. But then Urshifu was made.
Yeah, I think also the fact that it was on Alola, and Alola is slow. It's so slow. Like, there's nothing that...
Yeah, and he came out when Bug was not the best type to have a priority move on, given that the Tapus were so dominant.
Yeah, wasn't a great time. But again, the ability just destroys it. Like, look, in the Pokedex, it talks about how it's a sea monster that can literally cut the water and the air with its slicing claws. Why on earth didn't they just give it a hidden ability sharpness in this generation? That would have been easy. Or in the next one, just give it hidden ability sharpness and you're good. Doesn't need anything. Unless you got a better idea.
I mean, you could have given it Mold Breaker first impression, which would have been cool, because you could just, if you really hated the giraffe, you could just slap it.
I mean,
one cool Pokedex entry I do like for Galissapod is in Shield. It says they live in sunken ships or holes in the seabed. When Galissapod and Graflock battle, the loser becomes the winner's meal. So we have a nice little back and forth predation rivalry going on. I mean, he was clearly really built around first impression in mind. I feel like that was really sort of designed for him, because he has other like priority moves. Well, he also has Sucker Punch. So I really think they envisioned a world where, like, you do a big hit, you bounce out, you get to reset first impression and kind of do that again.
Yeah, Mold Breaker just seems like a really good fit for it then, just to be able to, like, you can just bounce out whenever you want, use whatever move you want, go have fun, kid.
Might be too good, but I think it would be neat. Also, I just like Galissapod, so I want him to be good.
Yeah, no, sometimes you just gotta be, sometimes you gotta be a little bit biased. It's fine. All right, so that's that poor abomination. What do you got?
All right, so I'm going to talk about a guy that I've always thought was neat. They weirdly hyped his unevolved form, I remember. I think they even showed it, like, KOing Smeargle at the World Championships for, like, wild applause when they were announcing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Crabominable.
Oh,
I remember. Or that is for Brawler.
Crabrawler.
Yeah, they revealed Crabrawler to us at the World Championships. I think I was in 2019. And it was basically it, like, just there, and it, like, KOing stuff. And then they showed it KOing Smeargle, and people, like, erupted in cheers.
It's one of those, like, oh, you know your audience. Okay.
Yeah, and then we got it. I was excited to use him on my in-game team. And a lot of people were initially displeased with the evolution Crabominable, he's kind of goofy. Crabrawler has, like, I think a cooler aesthetic a little bit. I was hoping for more of, like, a lot of people thought it was going to be, like, a mantis shrimp. Or some sort of, like, more punching style guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or just not an ice fighting type.
Yeah, I think that was where they made their mistake, truth be told. And it makes sense, given what they're based on. I mean, let's talk about the coconut crab first.
Oh, I was talking about Crabominable, who was, I think...
Oh, you don't want to skip the coconut crab. Fine. We'll just skip right over him. We'll just talk about Crabominable.
Oh, I didn't know how much time we had, because I thought we had another guy after this.
Yeah, we got one more guy after this. I'll speed run it. I'll take it.
Okay, yeah, take the coconut crab. I like coconut crabs. We can talk
about it. Yeah, so Crabrawler is based on a coconut crab. Coconut crabs are the largest land vertebrate by weight still around on this planet. They're really cool because they start off like hermit crabs. Like, they do have to live in a shell, but eventually they grow so large that they just leave the water altogether and they just start walking around committing crimes. And I'm not joking about that. Australians call them robber crabs because anything they grab is now theirs. Like, you can't
actually
make them
like shiny things too.
Yeah. It has the strongest grip of any animal in the animal kingdom. Like, it is ridiculously powerful. Anything it grabs onto is basically theirs because you can't remove it from them. The only way you can remove it is if you basically kill them, which sadly does happen. In some islands, they're basically extinct because people have been eating them. Apparently, the giant crab is delicious. Who knew?
Giant crab that eats coconuts is delicious. It's like coconut crab's already a menu item.
It's already it's pre-seasoned. It's marinating in its own juices. But, like, legitimately, this thing, it got a little bit of popularity amongst, like, the pop culture because people learned that, like, oh no, this thing will eat birds if it can grab them. But then also,
they allegedly
ate
Amelia Earhart.
Yeah, that was it. That was it to get it to. Like, yeah, Amelia Earhart's body potentially was found to have been eaten by coconut crabs, which is like.
Well, I don't think they ever found her body. I think they just assumed maybe crabs ate her. She made it to this one island.
Yeah, I mean, I would also, she probably would have passed away and then they ate her. They're not exactly, like, going to go after something that's, like, you know, moving and fighting.
Unless you're, like, really hurt, though, I guess. I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't, you know, hesitate if they thought they could do it.
Yeah, but it's a weird crab that decided to evolve into a weirder crab. Crabominable, if you don't know what it's based off of, is super strange. Like, it's not exactly a crab that most people talk about.
Yeah, so I feel like Crabominable's actually got a little bit of two different crabs, and I'm going to make my argument for why.
Okay.
Okay, so, one of them, and we mentioned them earlier, is, in my opinion, the pom-pom crab.
Mm-hmm.
So, Crabominable has the sort of fluffy things on his fist a little bit. He has the ability Iron Fist as well, so we know that he does punching, and they talk about how powerful his punches are in several Pokédex entries. As we mentioned before, the pom-pom crab is a crab that has a symbiotic relationship with sea anemones, where the crab attaches the anemones to its claws, basically. The anemones get to be moved around mobily, so they have better access to food, and sea anemones are venomous, so the crab has poison fists to punch stuff with for defense. So it's a mutually beneficial symbiotic relationship. And like I said, I think he throws a little bit from that. But also we know that the Crabominable is a fighting ice type. I think that, which that typing threw people off, they expected a bug or a water type, and ice was a rough typing when Incineroar was just added to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, and there's also the Yeti crab, which I'm assuming you were going to mention.
Yeah, the Yeti crab is probably one of the ones I always mention because it's such a weird little dude. But also, I recently got a chance to talk about it because I was taking a NOAA workshop that was talking about how we teach about the deep sea. And I brought it up like, yo, that creature over there is a Pokemon. Your students are going to love learning about this thing. Because it's just, if you've never seen what a Yeti crab does, it has these very weird, hairy arms that just allows it to pick up and filter near the vents that are down there, the hydrothermic vents. And they'll just feed off that, and they won't really have to move off the vent. Like that's basically that's the gist of this creature. Like it just survives in a chemical hot zone with pressure that should crush you into a ball, and it just vibes there its entire life with really weird, but not really hair. It's more like cilia. It's more like just a special. Sexy. I don't know what is the actual name of it. Shoot,
sexy
name. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. But yeah, it's all it's got, and it just waves around. It's a very cool crustacean on its own. It just got tied to yet another Alolan Pokemon and Alolan stats.
That's actually kind of good in Trick Room, though, I will say. You're immune to it. They really love giving the crabs hypercolor. I think the Crawdaunt line, this guy, and Kangler all have it.
I mean,
yeah, I guess it's hard to intimidate a crab.
All right. We got the last one we're talking about today because it's weird and nobody likes him and I feel like he deserves some love. How do you feel about barnacles?
I mean, I know a lot of I've had to learn a lot about barnacles. I had to identify a lot of them in a lab practical, and that was less fun. A lot of them look the same.
Honestly,
but there's a lot of really cool ones.
Yeah, I mean, like, barnacles, most people don't realize that they're animals at all, let alone that they are crustaceans. They are crustaceans just like any other crab or any other isopod or anything else out there. They just look really, really weird because they've adapted a really, really weird lifestyle. They've basically built themselves into a life cycle where once they reach adulthood, they will connect themselves onto a solid, flat object of some kind, and then they will then create almost like a cement-like structure and layer itself to make itself a home. The adhesive that it produces is apparently stronger than many industrial glues. It's real tough stuff. There's a reason so many boat docks have to be dedicated to like pulling a boat out of the water and scraping off the barnacles, like because they will grow on just about anything that is flat enough and slow enough. And Pokemon decided, yeah, we're going to go ahead and we are going to make a Pokemon based off the barnacle. And that's where we get Binnacle and Barbaracle. So the Binnacle and Barbaracle, they're gooseneck barnacles. So they're a little bit different than the barnacles you or I might see hanging out off like the Gulf of Mexico. Gooseneck barnacles. So basically they have the quote unquote head of this organism kind of is able to stick out and help kind of filter throughout the water. It's not as good at filter feeding as some other barnacles are, but its muscular stalk that lets it kind of stretch out lets it kind of grab a little bit more food than it normally would. I don't know why they picked this one, although I think I might, because it is one of the few barnacles that is edible to humans. The stalk,
yeah, I think they're very highly sought after.
I've seen that they are eaten a lot in the Iberian Peninsula. Portugal, yeah, and Spain, they're eaten quite a bit there.
Oh, also back when people believed in spontaneous generation, they thought before, you know, they thought that birds migrated, they thought that's where geese came from. Which is, I guess, why they're called gooseneck barnacles.
I saw that, and I didn't know if we should bring it up in the episode, because, honestly, that's really weird, and I don't know how it got that far.
I think it's fun.
It's fun, but I just don't know. It's a lot.
They thought the geese grew on branches, and they would find them in the waters. They thought the barnacles were attached to branches that fell in the water.
Science has come a long way, it seems. I do want to talk a bit about Barbaracle because, honestly, this design I don't hate it.
His head hand is really weird.
Yeah, the head hand is what sets me off a little bit. Like, you know?
His shiny form is also hideous.
I mean, yeah, how many shiny forms are fantastic, though? Like, compared... You know, dumb question. There's some pretty great ones. But, like, that one is pretty heinous. I don't know. With Barbaracle, it's not a Pokemon that people use a lot. It's a water rock type, so that typing alone is a mixed bag one way or the other.
And it's outclassed by the other water rock types.
Yeah, it's outclassed. It does get Shell Smash, which, you know, is nice, but it's not perfect.
So is Omastar.
Yeah, like almost everything with a shell kind of gets it. And I don't know. It's one of those Pokemon that time forgot. And I'm okay with bringing it up in an episode like this because I don't want people to forget it, even though it's freakish weird and nobody really liked it.
I think a better ability could help it. Like, Tough Claws isn't bad, but Sniper's weird and Pickpocket is not very good.
It's just because it has all the hands. It's all hands. That's why they wanted to make it a Pickpocket. And it's just like, why? I get it that literally every limb on it is basically just a little grabby hand, but, like, you can do better. Like, I don't know. We can come up with something. We have a little bit of time left. What would you give it?
Okay. So, well, not Swift Swim because it's a barnacle. I think it should. I think it should be slower. I think it should be like coracle speed. So okay, I've got two thoughts.
Okay.
One, you could give it you could just go boring and give it like suction cups or something, which is not that useful for it, but I guess it would be on theme.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be cool to have some sort of Katsugiri Dondozo situation, but with Wailord. Where it's got some ability where it combos with Wailord, and maybe instead of instead of being like a Dondozo clone, maybe it gives it like a layer of armor where like it's guaranteed to take like 3 hits or something.
Oh, that'd be cool if it was an ability where literally the Wailord can like survive 2 hits, like no damage.
Because he's got like a barnacle, like jumps on and then turns into a sick beard.
Oh, that'd be cool if it was like a Mimikyu disguise thing.
Yeah, like or he just gets like power armor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be great. I think that'd be fine. I mean, it might break it, but it's a Wailord. How bad could it be? It'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, Wailord's got a billion HP in water spouts. We could do something cool.
Yeah, it'd be neat enough. I mean, truth be told, I just wanted to do this episode in part because I think Barbaracle deserves something. When I was playing the game, when I was playing Gen 6, like, I loved him because it was a freaky little guy that nobody else liked and I could just respect it. But then the second
I've lost to it with Shell Smash, too.
Yeah, I mean, the second you see Clawitzer, the second you see Clawitzer, you realize, oh, well, I got to change this out. I don't know. I mean, I did change him out with another crustacean, so I can't feel that bad. But I'm glad we could get to do this episode. I'm sad Chris couldn't be here to join us, but these animals, these organisms, they're amazing. Like, they have been on this planet for so long. I can't wait to the next Pokemon game, because more likely than not, we'll get another crustacean. We got one the last game. We got Cloth, which is sadly a disappointment. But I feel like we'll...
I like him a lot, too, just as a little dude.
Yeah, no, I want a plush of him. I want a plush of him to take to work, so that way I can add him to my pile of plushies that are already on my desk. I like Cloth design-wise, but that's the problem with most of these. It's like most of these design-wise go hard, but then their abilities and everything else stinks, and I'm hoping that fixes somewhere down the line, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in any case, I think we're basically out of time, but I do want to thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys appreciate the episode, and if you guys have any other requests or want to talk to us, our Discord's down below. Please join up, ask anything you want. We're always an open book. Until then, Don, again, thanks for hanging out and talking about crabs. I appreciate it.
I had fun. I had fun. Now I want to go make a crab team. We have enough of them. Go full crab.
For your second there, I thought you were saying you were going to go make, like... I thought you were going to say, I'm going to go crabbing. Just, like, leave with a crab pop out over your shoulder.
I should go. Stone Crab season's about to end. I should go crabbing.
You go crab. All right. While you go crabbing, I'll wrap things up. Y'all, thank you so much for coming. Have a great rest of your day or night. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye, everybody.